أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وجاءوا أباهم عشاء يبكون قالوا يا أبانا إنا ذهبنا نستبق وتركنا يوسف عند متاعنا فأكله الذئب وما أنت بمؤمن لنا ولو كنا صادقين صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين وجاءوا أباهم عشاء يبكون and the brothers came to their father in the evening crying and they said O our beloved father we went to raise and left Yusuf with our belongings and the wolf devoured him and you will not believe us even though we are truthful. Up to now we have discussed how the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam were able to convince the father and take Yusuf ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam with them. And they take Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, showing him love, showing him compassion and mercy. But as they reached the well, they took the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam from his body and they threw him in the well. Fakhruddin Razi rahimahullah ta'ala says that kana yahuda yatihi bil ta'am. After Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was thrown in the well, his brother Yahuda would come each day and give food to his brother Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Because this brother had some sort of soft corner for Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, as we learned in the previous session. And he stayed in the well for 3 days. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, once he was thrown in the well, the brothers, now they come back to the father. And they come crying to the father. The well was not so far away from the house of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. But despite that, Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam was not aware of the whereabouts of Yusuf, and Yusuf was not aware of the house of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. This goes on to show that the being who is alimul ghayb is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No wali, no nabi can know what is hidden, what Allah has kept hidden. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who is aware of all the hidden things. He is the only one, alimul ghayb. Even the Nabi and the Prophet of Allah will not know if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided to conceal something. The brothers come crying to the father, and Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, upon hearing the voice of his children, he comes out of his house and he says that, is everything okay? Why are you guys crying and what happened to our goats and sheep? Did something happen? The wolf ate our sheep or goats? So they stayed quiet, and then one person or few brothers, in a very soft tone, they said to their father that nothing has happened to the sheep, the goats. In fact, our brother Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, we left him by our belongings and we started to race. We went a bit more far from the place where we had stayed, and it so happened that the wolf devoured Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Now they are trying to convince the father again. And they are crying. They are crying. They brought the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala says that they slaughtered a goat or a sheep and they drench the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam in the blood of the sheep or the goat. And they brought the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam to somehow convince the father that whatever we are claiming, that is the truth. And they come to Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam with this idea that somehow we are able to sell this. And Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, he purchases this idea of ours and he believes us that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is dead. So they come at night crying. Crying is for different reasons, but here the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam were crying for not a good reason, for a bad reason. And many people, to manipulate other people, they cry, they shed tears. Men are very expert, but women are even more expert in this. This is why Qadi Abu Shuraih rahimahullah ta'ala was a great Qadi. He was a great judge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him extraordinary smartness and cleverness. His insight was such that everybody was in awe of his cleverness, his farsightness. A woman came in his court and she came with the case. She started crying, weeping, sobbing. Everybody in the court of Qadi Abu Shuraih became very emotional and their hearts became soft. But Qadi Abu Shuraih, his heart was unmoved. And he was still adamant, or he was still firm on his opinion. So people around him told him that, Qadi, do you not see the woman crying? Qadi smiled and said to the people around him that, do you not read the Quran? وَجَاءُوا أَبَاهُمْ عِشَاءً يَبْكُونَ. That the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam came crying. He was trying to indicate that every person who cries does not mean that he is right. Every person who cries, that does not mean that he is right. Sometimes the emotional manipulation happens through crying. And generally the weaker one uses this weapon to somehow convince the other party. So here the children of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam came crying. Some people cry out of sins and disobediences of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they repent to Allah due to the fear of Allah or due to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people cry. But this crying is extremely beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, لَأَمِينُ الْمُذْنِبِينَ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ زَدْرِ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ. That you have some people who sit and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They pray tasbihat. Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Some people, they pray, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. They pray different things. These people are musabbi'een. They're glorifying Allah. They're praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sound of these individuals is put on one side. And some people are sitting, repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying istighfar. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. They're turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This sound of istighfar, or the sound of the sinners of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala crying due to the fear of Allah, due to the love of Allah, is more beloved in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the sound of the musabbihin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned through Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam. Jibreel comes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa salam and he says that, oh, the beloved of Allah, every action of Ibn Adam we weigh in the pan of scale, except the tear that comes out of his eye due to the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this tear has the potential and capability of extinguishing oceans of the fire of Jahannam. This is why Hakim al-Ummat, Manana Shaykh Ali Thani rahimahullah ta'ala, whenever he used to cry out of the fear of Allah, or out of the ishq and muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would not wipe his tears with tissue paper or paper with a towel. He would rub it over his face. And he used to say that it comes in the hadith that the place of a person's face where the tear has touched the fire of Jahannam is made haram upon that place. So he would wipe his tears all over his face, being optimistic in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that on the day of judgment, due to the barakah of these tears that flow from my eyes due to the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and touches my face and every portion of my face, inshallah my face will be saved from the fire of Jahannam. And it is not possible that a person is thrown in the fire of Jahannam and his face remains untouched. This is a glad tidings from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Jibreel, that the person who cries and the tears touches his face, that person will be saved from the fire of Jahannam. So this is why this crying is beloved for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if a person cries to deceive someone, this is extremely detestable and deplorable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam did here, they came crying to their father in the evening. Why did they come in the evening? The scholars of tafsir have expounded and unfolded why they came at night. The one reason why they came at night is because they wanted to show and put an impression upon the father that we took Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam with the sincere intention of making him eat, play, and enjoy. As a result, what happened was that the wolf came and devoured Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam. And since the afternoon, we were looking for Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam all the way up to Maghrib Salah. And once it was dark and it was impossible for us to see Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, now we come to you with this complaint that the wolf has devoured Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam. So we were looking for Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, trying to convince father that we are sincere in our claim. Or they came at night in the evening because it was possible. There was a remote possibility that the father says to the children that go back and look for Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam. So they can easily say that, oh, our beloved father, now it's dark. In those days there were no lights. So in the darkness of the night, how are we supposed to go and retrace our footsteps and reach the same place where we had halted and we were playing and we were racing? How are we able to see Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam in this dark? So that's why they didn't come during the day, because father could have instructed them to go back and look for Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam. Now this possibility was not there, and it was not possible for the father to instruct them to go back and look for Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam. Or they came in the evening because it's dark and it's easy for a person to conceal and hide his facial expression, through which a person is able to understand the reality. People who are smart, clever, they're able to understand through a person's face that this person is lying or is he saying the truth. So they came at night, so Ya'qub alayhi salatu wa salam is not able to see their facial expression. And they lowered their heads and they complained to Ya'qub alayhi salatu wa salam that the wolf ate Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention. And he says, وَجَاءُوا أَبَاهُمْ عِشَاءٍ يَبْكُونَ. The brothers came to their beloved father in the evening crying, and they said, O our beloved father, إِنَّا ذَهَبْنَا نَسْتَبِقُ. We went racing. The Mufassirin mentioned that نَسْتَبِقُ can mean they were racing, meaning they were competing with each other in racing. Some Mufassirin mentioned that no, they were competing in archery. And some Mufassirin say that they were competing in horse riding, horse racing. All three possibilities are possible here. Inna dhahabna nastabiqu, we went to compete and we went very far. Dhahabna is giving the meaning of going far. And we went so far that it took us a considerable amount of time to come back. And when we came, faf is for fuja'a, fa'akalahu dhib. All of a sudden, what we see in front of us is that the wolf has come and devoured Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam. This goes on to show that if the sport is within the limits of Sharia, then it's permissible. Racing is something good because it's good for a person's physical health. This is why the children of the Nabi of Allah is competing with each other. Even Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to race. It is mentioned in the riwayah of Muslim, Sahih Muslim, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that once me and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were far away from Madinatul Munawwara, and we were in a place where other people could not see us, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of a sudden he turned towards me and said, "Let's race and see who wins." They start racing, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he lets Aisha radiallahu, or he wins himself this time. And then she says that after a couple of years, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became old and he put on some weight, we raced again and I won, because he was getting old now. But in the riwayat of Abu Dawud Sharif, it's the other way around. But Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha won the first time, and she says that later on I put on weight, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he won the second time. Whatever the case is, one thing we understand, how good he was with his wives. But look how his showing his love to his beloved wife. But this should be done when other people are not looking. Because the satr of a woman is very, very necessary, that her body is kept hidden. And it's not good that a woman runs in front of other men. This is why this didn't happen in Madinatul Munawwara. When they were outside Madinatul Munawwara, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the opportunity that this is a good time to do something with my wife, and they both raced. We understand that racing is good from this incident of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salama ibn Aqwa radiallahu ta'ala anhu also used to race. And this is a companion who was extremely swift in running. He used to run so fast that the muhaddithin mentioned, the scholars mentioned, that he was so fast that other people would be riding horse, or some people would be riding camels in the desert. And he would be on his foot, he would still win. That's how fast he was. Salama ibn Aqwa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Also, apart from this, you can compete in archery as well. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that you should learn archery, you should learn horse riding. Because archery is used to be used in jihad fi sabilillah. Anything that is used in qital fi sabilillah, in fighting against the enemies, you should train yourself. In this day and age, we use other weapons. A person should train himself. In the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because they used to use arrows, he encouraged the Sahaba, the companions ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, to become expert in archery. And he would encourage them to go and learn archery. Also, he used to say to learn swimming. So swimming is also sunnah. Learn archery, learn swimming, do racing, become physically fit. Don't become lazy. Don't become lazy. This is what we learned from this verse of the Quran as well. Inna dhahabna nastabiqu wa tarakna yusufa 'inda mata'ina. We left Yusuf with our belongings, because Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam was the youngest. So they are giving that impression that Yusuf was too young to compete with us. So it was impossible for him to race and compete. So we left him by our belongings and we started racing. We went too far, we came back and we saw wolf devoured Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam. وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُؤْمِنٍ لَنَا وَلَوْ كُنَّا صَادِقِينَ. And you're not going to believe us, because you already had a negative opinion about us. You were drowned in the love of Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam. And due to other external reasons and factors, even if you were to speak the truth, we know that you're not going to believe us. They're putting so much emphasis. وَجَاءُوا عَلَىٰ قَمِيسِهِ بِدَمٍ كَبِيرٍ. So they bring false blood upon the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Many people translate this verse of the Quran wrong. And they say that they brought the shirt of Yusuf with the false blood upon it. This is a wrong translation, because ja'a, when it comes with ba, sila, bidamin kadib, it means to bring. So they brought bidamin kadib, false blood. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that they brought false blood? Blood cannot lie. But this is an indication that this was not the blood of Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, this was the blood of something else. Some other animal. Like I mentioned, that Ibn Kathir has mentioned, they slaughtered a goat or a sheep, and they put the blood of sheep on the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, and they brought the shirt to Yusuf, Yaqub alayhi salatu wa salam. وَجَاءُوا عَلَىٰ قَمِيسِهِ بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَىٰ مَا تَصِفُونَ. Yaqub alayhi salatu wa salam did not buy their idea. And he said that this seems far-fetched, that the wolf has devoured Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam. There are a couple of reasons why he did not believe his children. Number one, when someone insists so much upon something and he puts so much emphasis, generally this is a sign the person is lying. And look how they're trying to convince the father, Ya Abana, Inna Dahabna Nastabiq, they use Dahabna, that we started racing, we went too far. And then, وَتَرَكْنَا يُوسُفَ عِنْدَ مَتَاعِنَا فَأَكَلَهُ الذِّبْ. All of a sudden the wolf ate Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And then they're putting more emphasis, وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُؤْمِنٍ لَنَا وَلَوْ كُنَّا صَادِقِينَ. He knew that they're trying to put some extra emphasis. This is a sign that they're lying. Also, they did not have a good excuse. They used the same excuse which Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam had presented before they took him. That I'm scared, وَأَخَافُ أَنْ يَأْكُلَهُ الذِّبْ. I'm scared that the wolf will devour Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. They're mentioning the same excuse. So he knew that they're lying. They're using the same excuse. The third reason why he didn't believe the children was that he knew that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had seen the dream and vision. And that vision will come true, and I will see Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam in an honorable position. The children of mine will bow down before him. Me and my wife will also bow down before Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. If Yusuf is dead, if the wolf has eaten Yusuf, how will that day come when I will see him in an honorable and in the position of authority? So it is impossible that the wolf has devoured Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. They're lying. And the fourth reason why he didn't believe the children is because when they were mentioning, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam looked around and he saw the shirt, he held the shirt, that I am not able to hold my beloved Yusuf, my son, but at least I can take the shirt of Yusuf. He put the shirt against his eyes and he saw the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. It had stains of blood, but it was not ripped from anywhere. So he said to his children that I have not come across more smart wolf than this wolf who has devoured Yusuf. That the wolf devoured the entire body of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, but the shirt of Yusuf is untouched. It's not ripped from anywhere. How is it possible that an animal eats the body and their shirt is not ripped and the buttons are nicely opened up? So he knew that they were lying. This is why the criminologists today, they say that there is no such thing as a perfect murder. There is no such thing as perfect murder. Whoever kills someone, they usually overplan or underplan, or they will leave some sort of evidence. And the investigation team, they go, they do their investigation, and they're able to reach the conclusion. And they're able to find the right killer and murderer. So they were not smart enough to rip the shirt of Yusuf from different places. This was also from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this idea did not come to their mind. So they came, tried to convince the father. The father knew that the children are lying. He said, بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. No, in fact, perhaps your souls have tempted you to do something evil. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. The best thing for me at this moment in time is beautiful patience. وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one whose assistance and help is sought upon the claim you are making, the description you are presenting before me. Upon this, the only help I can seek is the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu al-musta'anu ala ma tasifun. The important point to note here is, again, Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam is not directly blaming his children. That no, you are lying. He's not saying that. Kadabtum, no. He's saying, bal sabwalat lakum anfusukum. He's blaming their nafs. At the back, we learned that he was blaming shaitan. Inna shaitana lil insani aduwwum mubin. And here he's blaming their nufus, their nafs. We learned that these are two great enemies of everybody. Shaitan and nafs. These are the two things that leads a person astray. This is why in one place he blames shaitan, in other place he blames nafs. Bal sawwalat lakum anfusukum amra. Fasabrun jameel. So now the best thing for me is sabrun jameel. Beautiful patience. What is a beautiful patience? Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah ta'ala says that fasabrun jameel huwa alladhi la shikwa ma'ahu. Sabr jameel is that sabr, that patience, wherein a person does not make any complaint to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He only complains to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is called sabrun jameel. We learn from this that there are other forms of sabr as well. In the entire Quran, approximately in 90 places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about sabr and patience. And in 16 different contexts, Allah has mentioned and He discusses sabr, patience. In this place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is discussing one form of sabr, which is sabrun jameel. Sabrun jameel. Sabr is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You find people, how they endured patience upon the calamity that befell them, and they went through so many different kinds of difficulties and atrocities in their life. But the way they presented and the way they went through sabr and patience was so amazing. Once a woman was making tawaf and circulating around Kaaba, and she was saying, "Oh Allah, I am happy even in this state. Oh Allah, I am happy even in this state." She kept on saying this. Other women, upon hearing this, after the tawaf was over, they went to this woman and asked her that, "How come you were saying that even in this state you are happy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" She said, "I was making roti at home in tanur, on a stove, you can say. And I had my small child with me. And all of a sudden, while I was making roti, I heard, I have other two sons as well. I heard one of them screaming. So I left this tanur, I finished off my roti, I went, and I go to the room to see what had unfolded, and I see that one of my son, my number two, is slaughtered. And I find a knife close by. So I understood that this is the same knife used by my husband a few days ago to slaughter a goat. So the son must have seen it, that my father was using this knife. The eldest son used the same knife to slaughter his younger brother. He probably was showing him that, come, I'll show you how the father was slaughtering the goat. So he slaughters the second son, his second brother. And then he became scared that, what have I done? So upon seeing the blood, he went and hid behind firewood. And the mother is looking for the eldest son. And she reaches behind the woods and she finds the eldest son lying there dead. And upon seeing the son, she understood that the snake has bitten the son as well. So two of his sons are gone, they left this world. And then all of a sudden she remembered that I left my youngest son by tanur, by the fire. She comes running and she sees that the youngest son of hers is in tanur and is burned to ashes. So she makes preparation for that he is in takfeen, and she completes all the rituals of burial. And then she comes for Umrah, and she's circulating around Ka'batullah, and she's saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh Allah, I have left all my three sons, but even in this state I am happy with you." Even in this state, I'm happy with you. What calamity and what difficulty do we have in our lives, my brothers and elders? Think, we live in this country, alhamdulillah, everything is at our disposal. And we still complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This woman has lost everything. She lost all her three children. She's still saying to Allah, oh Allah, I'm happy with you. Oh Allah, I'm happy with you. Ibn Hibban has mentioned in Kitab al-Thiqat that Imam al-Awza'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, a great scholar, a prominent muhaddith, he narrates from Abdullah ibn Muhammad, rahimahullah ta'ala, and he says that once I was traveling, and I go close to the shore, and I find a small tent, I look in, and there is an old man sitting, he is completely paralyzed. He has lost his hands, lost his feet, none of his organs and the limb of his body is intact. None of it is functioning except his tongue. He can only speak. All the other parts of his body, they were paralyzed. He could not. He is still praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma awzi'ni an ahmada hamdan. Wa kafi'u bihi shukra ni'matika allati an'amta alayhi. وَفَضَّلْتَنِي عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقْتَ تَفْضِيلًا. He's praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in an amazing manner. And Abdullah ibn Muhammad rahimahullah ta'ala is standing there shocked that this person has only one limb functioning. And he's still praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He makes a vow that I will definitely go to this person and ask him upon which ni'mat and blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is he showing gratitude to Allah and being thankful and grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says that I go to this old man and I ask him, فَأَيَّ نِعْمَةٍ مِّن نِعَمِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى عَلَيْكَ تَحْمَدُهُ عَلَيْهَا. What is that blessing of Allah which Allah has bestowed upon you, upon which you are showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَأَيَّ فَضِيلَةٍ تَفَضَّلَهُ عَلَيْكَ تَشْكُرُهُ عَلَيْهَا. And what is that fadila, that virtue, that merit that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored you with, and you are thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon that virtue? So this person, he stops for a while and he starts crying and he says to him that, oh Rajul, because he didn't know his name, so he said, oh Rajul, ama tara ma sana'a bi rabbi, do you not see how my Lord has favored me? And he said, وَاللَّهِ لَوْ أَرْسَلْتَ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيَّ نَارًا فَأَحْرَكَتْنِي وَأَمَرَ الْجِبَالَ فَدَمَّرَتْنِي وَأَمَرَ الْبِحَارَ فَغَرَّقَتْنِي وَأَمَرَ الْأَرْضَ فَغَرَّقَتْنِي فَبَلَعَتْنِي. He says that, do you not see how Allah has favored me? If Allah was to order the skies to send down rain in the form of fire, and this fire comes down, this fire will burn me to ashes. If Allah was to order and command the mountains would squeeze me. If Allah was to instruct the ocean, the water would come out in the form of flood, and the flood would drown me. If Allah was to order the earth would split open, and it would take me and eat me. But Allah has not done this due, even though my disobediences of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reached the skies. How can I be ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Allah, and this is what is prompting me to show shukr and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what making me show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can I have a complaining tongue? So this person was sitting there shocked. And then he says, that since you are here with me, I have one necessity and one hajj. If you can fulfill for me. I had one son who was looking after me. He used to feed me. He used to bring water for me. And whenever it was time for salah, he would make me make wudu. But for the past 3 days, I do not see my son around me. Can you go and look for him? What has happened to him? Abdullah ibn Muhammad rahimahullah ta'ala leaves this person. He goes looking for his son. And he comes to a place, he says that there were two small mountains, and he sees bones of a small bone. So he understood that these are the bones of his son. And an animal has come, a creature of Allah has come and devoured his body. But now he's standing there thinking that, how can I go back and inform the father? He has nothing left. And the only support he has was his son. How can I go and inform him? As I was walking, he says that as I was walking back to the old man, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts this thought in my mind that compared his life with the life of Ayyub alayhi salatu wa salam. So he goes to this old man and he says that Anta akramu ala Allah am Ayyub al-Nabi. Who is more noble in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yourself or the Nabi of Allah, Ayyub alayhi salatu wa salam? Who is more noble in the eyes of Allah? The old man says that Ayyub alayhi salatu wa salam was noble, more noble in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this person asked him that didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala test him in different ways? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took everything away from him. Allah took health away from him. Allah took his children away from him. Allah took his house away from him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made his relatives and close ones leave him alone and go far away from him. But even in that state, how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala find Ayyub alayhi salatu wa salam? The old man said that wajadahu sabiran shakiran hamida. Even in that state, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala found Ayyub alayhi salatu wa salam in the state of gratefulness, in the state of patience, and in the state of praising and glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after that he broke the news and he said that I went to look for your son and this is what I found. I found his bones and it looks like an animal has eaten your son. And since this was the only support the old man had, this had a very strong impact on his heart. But even in this state, and he praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he says that Alhamdulillah alladhi lam yakhluq min dhurriyyati khalqan ya'sihi fa yu'adhibahu bin nar thumma istarja'a wa shahida shahtan fama. He praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that all praise is due to that Allah who has not created in my progeny such a child who has disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a result, Allah would have to punish him. Allah has not created, meaning I'm thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me this pious child. He's thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ اسْتَرْجَعَ. And he says, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Upon this sad news, وَشَهِقَ شَهْتًا فَمَاتَ. And he falls down unconscious and he passes away. And he passes away. Abdullah ibn Muhammad rahimahullah ta'ala is sitting there, what should I do with this body? Because if I leave this body, the animal will come and devour the body, and if I stay, I'm not in the position to do anything to somehow benefit this person. So he says that the cloth that he had on his body, with that I covered his face, and I'm sitting there crying in close to his head, and all of a sudden four people come to me and they say that, why are you crying? What's the story behind this? So I mentioned the whole story to them that this is what happened, and now this dead body is in front of me. So they said to me that, can you uncover the face so we see the face and we might recognize this person who he is. So I take the cloth from his face, and when they saw this person's face, فَانْكَبَّ الْقَوْمُ عَلَيْهِ يُقَبِّلُونَ عَيْنَيْهِ بَرَّةً وَيَدَيْهِ بَرَّةً أُخْرَى. So when they saw this person's face, they pounced on his body and they started kissing his eyes and they started kissing his hands. And they started saying, Bi Abi, aynun talama ghaddat an maharimillah. Bi Abi, jismuhu talama kana sajidan wa nasu niyam. That may our parents be sacrificed upon those eyes which were always lowered from the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. Al maharimillah. And may my parents and our parents be sacrificed upon that body which we always saw in prostration when other people were sleeping. When other people were sleeping. Abdullah ibn Muhammad says to these people that man hadha yarhamukumullah. Who is this person? Can you introduce this person to me? Oh, may Allah have mercy upon you. I do not know who this person is, but the way all of you are behaving, it seems that this is a special friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said that huwa Abu Qilaba al-Jurami, Sahib ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, that this is Abu Qilaba, who was a student of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. Kana كان أشد الناس حبا لله وللنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. That this person was drowned in the ishq, in the love of Allah and the love of Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And then they made preparation and they buried him. And Abdullah ibn Muhammad says, I came back to my own place. I fell asleep at night and I see him in my dream. And I see him in my dream and this person is in Jannah, in Rawdatun min Riyad al-Jannah, and wa alayhi hullatan min hulal al-Jannah, and he is donning upon himself the clothing of Jannah, and he is reciting the verses of the Quran. Salamun alaykum bima sabartum fa ni'ma uqbad dar. Salamun alaykum bima sabartum. This is the claim in the Quran. Allah says that those people who endures patience on the day of judgment, the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and some Mufassirin say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself will say that peace be upon you, O people who went through some sort of calamity in their lives, that they were patient upon it. فَنِعْمَ أُقْبَ الدَّارِ. Today, your final abode is the best abode. فَنِعْمَ أُقْبَ الدَّارِ. He was reciting these verses of the Quran. My brothers, for small difficulties, we start complaining about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, why did you afflict me with this calamity? I pray 5 times daily, I recite Quran, I do so much, and I'm still going through this rough patch in my life. Look at these people. What they went through, and their tongues are moist with the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam is giving us this message. That whenever you come across any kind of challenge in your life, hold fast to two things. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. One is sabr, patience, and one is isti'anat billah, taking assistance and help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the two weapons of a believer in the times of calamity. Sabr and isti'anat billah, and they are connected, interconnected with each other. Because the person who is truly patient, he will turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will not complain to the creation of Allah, he will complain to his Allah, his creator, his sustainer, his nourisher. And he will say that, oh Allah, only you can help me, and only your help I see. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us, that ask, understand this and inculcate this in your heart and mind. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. It is only you whose help we seek. This is the message Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us daily in every rakat of every salah. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. These are the two things we need to hold fast to: sabr and isti'anat billah. If a person has true sabr, he will do isti'anat billah. And a person who does isti'anat billah, he seeks help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will remain patient. And he will go through this rough patch in a good state with a positive mind, and a time will come when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him see glory. Just last week I was giving my Jummah khutbah, and a person was wearing his face mask, and a very profound message was written on his face mask. And I was very moved by this. It says, struggle before glory. Struggle before glory. People, they want glory in their life. They want goodnesses in their life without any struggle. This is not possible. My brothers and elders, every person has to go through some sort of challenge in his life. Because if this world becomes full of goodnesses, then this world will become Jannah. What is the need for Jannah? What is the need for Jannah? This world comprises of both. You will have good things, you will have bad things. In the times of goodness, you show thanks and gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the time of calamity, adversity, you show patience and you stay steadfast upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not only bless you in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you in the akhirah as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. In Allah is with the sabirin. We cannot become anxious and depressed for small reason. We will face challenges. We have to stay firm and say to Allah that I am your weak servant, O Allah. And you are testing me. O Allah, give me patience and give me strength to go through this hard time and show me glory in my life. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ The person who goes through patience on the day of judgment without any hisab and reckoning, he will be granted entry into paradise. Yaqub alayhi salatu wa salam, he's saying, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ The question here, one question arises that he is afflicted with such a big calamity. He has lost his son. And he has sufficed on sabr. The children are coming to him. And he knows that they are lying. Yusuf is alive somewhere. He did not make any significant effort to go and look for Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. He just said, Sabrun jameel, wallahu al-musta'anu ala ma tasifun. He did not take any action to look for Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. The Mufassirin mentioned that according to one narration, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divinely informed Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam through a revelation that you will not be able to find Yusuf at this moment in time. We have other plans for him. This is why your efforts will be wasted. Do not go and look for Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And some people, some Mufassirin, they have mentioned other reasons that because Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam had seen a dream, so he knew that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is alive and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise him to the rank of Anbiya. وَكَذَلِكَ يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِنْ تَعْوِيلٍ أَحَادِيثٍ I mentioned that he knew that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam will become a prophet one day. So he knew that he's alive and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise him materialistically and also spiritually as well. So I do not have to make any effort to go and look for Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. I will be patient and be happy with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will take care of Yusuf and also myself. And this is what he resort to, sabr and isti'ana billah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also grant us tawfiq to hold fast to these two weapons in the time of calamity. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to recite this Quran as much as possible and understand this Quran and propagate this Quran to every corner of the globe. وآخر دعوانا